Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine. We have a phone line open for you, so dial 888-ASK-HANK and join us on the show. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy. It's always great to be with you as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question answered on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And as you dial that number today, do remember that that translates to 888-275-4265. Our contact information as we begin the broadcast, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. On the web, it's equip.org, and via the phone, it is 888-7000 and the letters CRI. And again, just before we go to our questions, the first issue I want to alert you to is that all this month we have a resource available to you. And to say that I'm excited about this resource would be the understatement. It is titled MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. In fact, MAPS actually gives you the memorable keys so that you might not only learn, but remember. You can master the proofs for the divine inspiration of Scripture in minutes. You can remember them for a lifetime. It is a memorable defense of the most significant literary work in the history of humanity. When we talk about the Bible, we're talking about an exquisite masterpiece. It is fashioned from 66 books. It is written by 40 different human authors in three different languages over a period of 1,500 years on thousands of different subjects, and yet it's unified and consistent throughout. You might ask the question, how in the world is that possible? Remember, the individual writers had no idea that their message would eventually be assembled into one book. And yet, each work fits perfectly into place with a unique purpose as a synergistic component of an elegant masterpiece. The synergistic harmony of the Bible is a powerful testimony. It's an enduring reminder that God has spoken, that these are His very words. The elegant tapestry of the text, added to the eyewitness testimony of the authors of the text, is surpassingly powerful internal evidence to its absolute and irrevocable trustworthiness. In other words, you can bank your eternal destiny on the Word of God, something that we ought to be able to communicate not only to our family members and friends, but in a post-Christian culture to those who do not even believe that there is such a thing as truth. In other words, they place tolerance on a higher pedestal than truth. And as I said many times, tolerance when it comes to personal relationships is always a virtue. But tolerance when it comes to truth is, of course, a travesty. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Neil. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Hank. I was going to comment on there was a question yesterday about the women in the church and how they should silence.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, I wanted to comment on 1 Timothy chapter 2, the verses are 11 and 12. Which say, let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Now, to take that as a universal statement, I think would be a mistake. Because my pastor, he corrected me on that, saying that in that time, that church that Timothy was pastoring over, a lot of those people were coming from pagan religions, and that the way they would set the seating in the churches, the men were separate from the women, like in Jewish tradition, and the wives were reported to be asking their questions to their husbands in the middle of the church services. And that was one of the things that Paul brought up in this letter to Timothy for that specific church, was that these women in the church should wait until they get home and then ask their husbands whatever questions they had of the truth of the gospel. Now, did you have any comments on that?
Well, no, this is an argument that you have very well articulated, and that is that 1 Timothy 2:11 is circumstantial, and it's not a universal principle. And to further make this point, in 1 Corinthians 11:4, Paul gives instructions for women who pray or prophesy publicly in church. And therefore, obviously, the word "be silent" or the phrase "be silent" has to be contextualized. And yeah, it is true historically that women in the culture were not literate. In fact, they were considered second-class citizens. They were considered on the social, economic rung to be at the very bottom of society. And then what Paul, therefore, is doing is something very radical in saying that women should be able to learn in the first place. However, he's making the qualification until they have learned, however, they ought not to teach or exercise authority. I think what's really important is to recognize that within a particular culture in which there is not equality, Jesus and the apostles come in and do something absolutely radical. They're saying that in Christ there's no Jew or Greek, there's no slave or free, there's no male or female. We are one in Christ. And but again, from a circumstantial standpoint, if people have not learned, whether men or women, they are not allowed to teach. And therefore, in certain circumstances, it is also true to say that men have to be silent in the church. And this is made clear in the scriptures as well. But I think you're wise to look at the contextualization. But having said that, the caller yesterday made a very competent argument for the other side of the equation. And this is one of the things that is debated vigorously in ecclesiology. And I have looked at the various arguments over the years, the arguments from principle and precept, and then determined on the basis of that the actual practice, precept, and principle that you have in Scripture does make a very good argument for the notion that women should not be the lead pastors in churches. Now, there's a whole other part of the argument, and that is ecclesiology oftentimes wonders whether there should be a paid pastor or a ruling elder to begin with. There are many bodies of believers around the world who believe that rather than having a ruling elder or teaching pastor, that when the body comes together, the Holy Spirit works through each person in terms of the propagation of the gospel. It's oftentimes couched under the word prophecy, which is to say, not prophecy in the sense of foretelling, but prophecy in the sense of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, whereby each member of the body is responsible to communicate for the edification, exhortation, equipping, and encouragement of the body to strengthen the believers. So each person has a role as the Holy Spirit works through them. So again, there are many different views with respect to ecclesiology, and this is one of the bases on which you have denominations. And so the one thing that I'm trying to communicate when we deal with an issue like this is that we should do it with meekness and reverence, and certainly be open to listen carefully to those who have other opinions, because while we can debate these issues vigorously, we should never divisively divide over these issues as believers. I'm going to have to leave it at that, but good comments. Let's go right back to the phone calls and talk to Aaron in Utah. Hi, Aaron. How are you?
You there?
I'm doing
well. Thanks for taking my phone call. I just recently lost a dog, and my father says that dogs don't have souls, and we tried looking up some stuff in the scriptures, and it doesn't say very much about animals. And will I see him in heaven is basically my question. Dad says no, but I tend to believe that he does have a soul, and I will see him again.
Well, let me answer this in a comprehensive fashion, because this is a question that so many people not only have an intellectual interest in, but a very emotional interest in, as you do. I would say, first of all, the scriptures from first to last suggest that animals do have souls. Both Moses in Genesis and John in Revelation communicate that the Creator endowed animals with souls. And in the original languages of Genesis 1 and Revelation chapter 8, the words nephesh and suke respectively refer to the essence of life or the soul. And it wasn't until Descartes and Hobbes and the Enlightenment period that people thought otherwise about animals. Now, having said that, I think a very important qualification should be given, and that is because the soul of an animal is qualitatively different from the soul of a human. There is reasonable doubt that it can survive the death of its body. But one thing I think is clear and certain from Scripture, and that is there is sufficient precedent for believing that animals will inhabit the new heaven and the new earth. You might even look at the words of Isaiah, where the wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. I think when you think about animals, they are among God's most avant-garde creations, and to imagine that there'll be trees and flowers in heaven, but not animals, I think, is an unreasonable prejudice. Animals populated the Garden of Eden, and therefore I think there's precedent for believing that animals will populate Eden restored as well. Not only that, while we cannot say for certain that the pets we enjoy today will be resurrected in eternity, I'm not willing to preclude that possibility. And some of the keenest thinkers in biblical history have been very quick to say that they think that even petted pets will be in heaven. So again, while we can debate that, I think that there's ample room for the notion that this is certainly possible within the purview of God's purposes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. And I'll have this conversation with my dad again and see what he thinks about all that. So.
Yeah, let me mention as well that in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, I actually have an entry on this particular question. Also in my book, Resurrection, I deal with whether or not animals will be in heaven. And it's something that I take up in more detail in a book called Afterlife, which is going to be out next year.
Okay, great.
Blessings to you.
Thank
you so much for your call. I want to mention a couple of things very quickly, and that is the Christian Research Journal, which is an award-winning magazine. I have said this many times, but I don't think that any home or church should be without it. It's dealing with cutting-edge issues. It is certainly one of the most insightful organs for Christianity in the modern world. And I think that if you have never looked at it, you should do yourself the satisfaction of taking a peek at it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can subscribe right now with a special offer code TRUTH on the World Wide Web. In other words, you can get a one-year subscription for the journal for $35 plus a free promotional issue. That's 7 issues for only $35. You can subscribe again online at equip.org and use the special offer code TRUTH. Also want to mention as we go to break, and again, we're going to be taking your calls after the break, and the number to dial, 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. But I want to mention as we go to break how important it is that you stand with the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute prayerfully and financially. I've mentioned this, and it bears repeating. We had some very difficult months, particularly during election time. People's minds and hearts were focused elsewhere. And as a result, we dug a pretty substantial hole financially, and we do need to fill in that hole. And of course, the way you do that is by making the most generous gift you can to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. I cannot promise you a give-to-get scheme, but I can tell you that your gifts will be used for the propagation of the gospel, and only from the perspective of eternity will you fully know how God has used your faithfulness for His glory and the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments.
Are you celebrating a myth this Christmas? Bart Ehrman and the Anti-Theist want you to think so. They claim the Bible is an unreliable, purely human fantasy. Get the facts and learn to defend the truth with Hank's new flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. The flip chart is our way of saying thank you for your gift of support to the Bible Answer Man broadcast during this important season for ministry. Please partner with us. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give today. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem, and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, Equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At Equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture, so take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration.
The greatest apologetic for Christianity is its founder, all that the Lord Jesus was, said, and did. Muslims, too, believe that their founder stands apart and that his book, the Quran, is the greatest apologetic. A natural avenue for Christian apologetics to Muslims, then, is to contrast the words and works of Jesus and Muhammad. The latest issue of the Christian Research Journal delves into a comparison of the central figures of Islam and Christianity. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is David in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I had a question about a Bible I received as a gift. It's called the Christian Warfare Study Bible by Charisma Publishing. Do you have any thoughts on that? It just, while reading it, it has a lot of quotations and stuff in it concerning curses and stuff like that. I just kind of found it to be kind of, I don't know what to think about the Bible. I normally use the NIV Bible. But since I've gotten this Bible, I don't know. I just seem kind of different or unusual with all the quotes about curses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm new to Christianity, by the way, so.
Well, I'm glad you called, because this is just a reprehensible Bible. It is absolutely incredible to me that we live in an epoch of time where something like this can be published under the rubric of Christianity. It contains more than 250 one-sentence declarations and prayers that affirm your determination to confront Satan with the Holy Spirit's help. But this is not done using a biblical model of spiritual warfare. It is a classic example of pop culture beckoning and postmodern Christians taking the bait. It's what's called a deliverance model of spiritual warfare, and therefore, by using their formula, you can get rid of the demon of accidents, the demon of miscarriage, the demon of difficult birth, the demon of caffeine, the demon of flood, whatever demon might be troubling you, you can get rid of it in a quick fix kind of fashion. And this comes actually from the culture, in the sense that the fascination with demons in the culture at large led to this deliverance movement within Christianity. And of course, you'd be hard-pressed to come up with a better scheme, because whatever your problem, whether it's depression or anxiety or substance addiction or even a runaway sexual appetite, what we have now is exorcism ministries that will happily claim expertise for dealing with the problem, and then they give you a bonus. You know, here's the value-added bonus. It's like buying Ginzu knives. you're not personally held responsible for the problem. Indwelling demons are mainly to blame, and getting rid of them is the key to moral and psychological redemption. So what's happened? Well, again, as I pointed out earlier, we have lost the ability to think biblically, and therefore we're being transformed from cultural change agents and initiators into cultural conformists and imitators. So, you know, the culture beckons and we take the bait. And as a result, the discipleship model of spiritual warfare, which was championed by Christians in the past, has given way to a deliverance motif. So the passion for exercising the spiritual disciplines in order to become like Christ has given way to the quick fix of exercising your demons. And I should point out that it's really important to grasp the biblical notion that if you are a believer, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and your temple will not be shared by demons. Jesus makes that abundantly clear, so clear that no one who reads the Bible credibly could miss his point.
Yeah, well, thanks for your answer. I kind of thought along the same lines, and like I said, I've been using the NIV, but I also have one other Bible, It's the NLT. What do you think of that as far as it seems to be easy to read?
Yeah, well, it isn't a translation in the truest sense of the word. It is a paraphrase. Now, if you read the paraphrase for what it is, it can be helpful, but recognize that it's a paraphrase and that it goes beyond the range of meaning allowed from the translation of the original language into the receptor language, in this case, English. So it goes beyond, at places, the range of meanings of words and context that would be allowable in terms of just translating from one language into the receptor language.
Okay, so the NIV would be my best bet then.
Well, I think it is a very good translation. It's what's called a dynamic translation. So rather than being a word-for-word translation, it's a thought-for-thought translation, and as such renders the intent of the original authors in the original languages very well in English.
Okay. Well, thank you for your answer. That helps a lot, and for your show. Thank you, Hank.
Well, you are welcome, and I do want to mention a book that I wrote on spiritual warfare. It's called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. As I've said many times on the broadcast, if you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. Let's go back to the phone lines. I want to talk to Ed next. He's listening in Jefferson City, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Ed.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Missed your show. I was in the Philippines for almost 3 years and came back. My question is, one of the leaders that I was affiliated with in his church, he's a very good pastor and everything, but sometimes when you go to his Facebook page, you'll say, well, my astrological reading for today, you know, Libra, all the signs, he'll say, well, my reading for today was this and this. And I've tried to rebuke him saying, we don't, you know, rely on astrology. And I was trying to remember biblical verses to support this, but I couldn't really remember any right now, so I was wondering if you could help me with that.
Sure. Well, Scripture clearly condemns astrology as a practice that is detestable to the Lord in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And then Isaiah goes so far as to say that the counsel of the astrologers and stargazers who make predictions month by month not only wore out the Babylonians, but did not save them from their future ruin. So despite the clear condemnation of Scripture, there are still those who maintain that there's a biblical precedent for using stars to chart the future. And what they do is they mistakenly cite passages, for example, the Magi. But if you look at the context, it reveals that the star that the Magi followed was not used to foretell the future, but to foretell the future. In other words, the Star of Bethlehem did not prophesy the birth of Christ. It pronounced the birth of Christ. But I think more to the point, science has debunked astrology as a pseudoscientific paradigm that's based on the odd predilection that galaxies rather than genes determine inherited human characteristics. And not only so, astrology cannot account for the problem posed by mass tragedies and twins. So people with a wide variety of horoscopes all perished on 9/11, for example, and twins born under the same sign of the zodiac frequently end up with widely diverse futures. And remember Daniel. Even King Nebuchadnezzar's astrologers recognized the impotence of their craft. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar asked them to remind him of his dream and then interpret it? Well, they responded in terror, saying, "No man on earth can do what the king asks." In other words, when he recognizing that they were gaming him, put their lives on the carpet, they exclaimed the truth. They don't know the future, nor could they tell the future. They couldn't so much as be able to tell the dream, much less what it pretended for the future. And I think what you have here with astrology is you are subverting the natural use of the stars, which of course is ordained by God, for a superstitious use of the stars, which God clearly disdains. And Genesis chapter 1, the very first chapter in the Bible, points to the natural use of the stars to separate the day from the night, to serve as signs, to mark seasons, days, years, to illuminate the earth. And of course, they can also rightly be used for all kinds of purposes, ranging from navigation to natural revelation. And therefore, sailors could use astronavigation to chart their course, but we as Christians should not use astrology to chart our careers. This is something clearly spoken out against in the very first text that I cited from Deuteronomy 18, I think is all you need to know.
Okay, Deuteronomy 18, what? Yeah. Like I said, I'm just trying to get some specific verses that I can say, Pastor, look at this verse, look at that verse.
Yeah, I think what I would do is I would go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, I think it's verses 10 through 20. I think the Isaiah passage that I mentioned, I believe it's Isaiah 47, 13 through 14, but you'd have to check it out.
Okay.
Then also Daniel. Daniel okay. is a very powerful and I think persuasive demolition of the whole paradigm of astrology, and you'll find that in Daniel chapter 2.
Okay. All right, well, like I said, I was over there for about 3 years, and I was like, oh, I wanted to hear the Bible answer, man, but I couldn't hear you so much, so, you know. I appreciate your ministry and your time, so,
you got it. It is my pleasure. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thanks a lot. God bless.
God bless you as well. I want to go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Jeff in Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hank. Pleasure to speak with you. I have a question about prophecy. Your scholarship has allowed me to kind of let loose some of my previous notions of dispensationalism and specifically the rapture, but I would like to know how to read prophecy, especially in Isaiah with the fall of Satan, etc. Specifically, the telescope nature of prophecy. In other words, is there a three-stage nature to some prophecy where you could read the past into it, the near future, and then the far future, specifically such as the abomination of desolation? And I do have one specific question for you, and do you feel that there will be a man of lawlessness to be revealed?
Well, I think there's always a man of lawlessness, and it could be an institution, an individual, anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. But as far as the abomination of desolation is concerned, it is very clear that Jesus is pointing back to something that happened in the past. He says, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination of desolation, let the reader understand. He talks about this abomination of desolation that's spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Daniel foretold 400 years ahead of time that there would become a man of lawlessness, an abomination of desolation. That prophecy was fulfilled with Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, and of course there was freedom of the Jews under Judas Maccabeus, and this is still celebrated at Hanukkah. Jesus now points to what Daniel experienced and prophesied, to prophesy that 40 years hence there would be an abomination of desolation. And of course, that was fulfilled with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. There's no reason whatsoever, however, to suppose that there's going to be a future abomination of desolation, because there's no warrant for believing that there's going to be a future temple where the Dome of the Rock now stands. I actually lay all of this out in my book, Has God Spoken, in three very distinct sections, so you can look it up there. Coming up to station break, we'll be right back with more answers.
As an organ of the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment.
Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture. So take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Maps, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. You know the Bible is God's infallible, inspired word to us. But when someone puts you on the spot, it can be hard to explain the proofs that support your trust. That's why we've condensed the crucial points from Hank's book, Has God Spoken?, into a new flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. The flip chart is our gift in appreciation of your support of the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. Get the proof at your fingertips. Go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And before we go back to the callers, do want to mention once again how important it is for you to stand with us at this time financially as well as prayerfully. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, and we need many of you to consider doing that, you commit to support the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute with your monthly support. And in appreciation of your support, I'll send you a personalized copy of the Creation Answer Book. You can also request a personalized edition for $100 or more. And it's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Select Bible Answer Man Support Team and fill out the online form. And, of course, if there are those out there that can give gifts of $5,000 or $10,000 or more, it would be greatly appreciated and much needed at this very crucial time in our financial history. Please make your tax-deductible gift to the Christian Research Institute at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, on the web at equip.org, or, of course, you can give through our Resource Consultants at number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Menga in San Francisco, California. Hi, Menga.
Hello, Hank. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question. You know, my pastor said in a prayer meeting to his staff and to us, as he said, Jesus Christ was a Nazarite, like Samson. He never cut his hair. He never drank wine. That's wrong. He was a Nazarene. They're different. I looked it up. I knew it from the Bible. What should I say? Should I tell him? Or should I let it go and look for another church?
Well, I mean, I think you should go to your pastor with gentleness and with respect, and I think that you're absolutely right. Jesus was a Nazarene. He was an inhabitant of Nazareth, but he was not a Nazarite. And you're also correct in pointing out that the Nazarite vow included abstaining from wine, even grapes and raisins, but Jesus partook of wine. If Jesus had practiced abstinence from all wine, he would not have been accused of being a wine bibber. You're absolutely right, and I appreciate the fact that you did the research because you're giving a credible answer. And again, if you give it with gentleness and with respect, it all depends on how the pastor responds. If he says, I don't really care what the truth is, what I really care about is what I have said, I'm going to stick with it anyway, then I would say that the pastor might not be displaying the proper attitude of being teachable. All of us, I mean, I learn from people all the time, and I think that we all should be in an attitude of being teachable.
Yeah, and then I have another question. What is the calendar of the zodiac? My pastor goes by that calendar. That is astrology, like...
Yeah, I mean, and it is unfortunate today that there are people who actually think that there is a special revelation given in the signs of the zodiac. So you have this idea now that's prevalent in Christian churches called gospel in the stars. Yeah. But remember, the stars are always for general revelation, not for special revelation. So we know from general revelation that there is a God and that God created the universe, but the message of salvation is given to us through special revelation and principally in the Word of God.
And, you know, he's Assembly of God. He was a pastor who led this woman who was a Buddhist. She pushed her. She said, there are other ways than Jesus Christ. And I had to go through the district attendant from the Assembly of God. And he was on my side. And they called me before the board. And I mean, I'm 81. Perhaps I should go to another church. But I pushed it through. I said, no. You know, there's only one way to God, and I showed them the scripture, and I told them that the church has to be a spiritual safe place and cannot put out all those things.
Well, good for you for standing for principle.
Yeah, I'm getting tired.
Well,
perhaps I should look for another church.
Yes, and it's always difficult when you've been with the church for a long, long time.
26 years, I was there before he came.
Yes, yes.
What is the Assembly of God? They're very legalistic.
Well, some are, yes, for sure. Some are very legalistic, but not all. It is a Pentecostal denomination that believes in the second blessing, and they believe that tongues is not a, but the second blessing. And I would disagree with them on that point, but again, that is a secondary issue which we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over. But by and large, the Assemblies of God have stood firm when it comes to essential Christian doctrine, although I have to say that in recent years, many of Assembly of God pastors have given a platform to Word of Faith preachers. So there's been an unhealthy union between the two. Going to have to leave it at that. Thank you so much for your call. By the way, had Jesus been a Benjamite or even a Levite, or had he been a Nazarite, he would have immediately been exposed as a fraud. Had Jesus not been of the house and lineage of David, his antagonists would have been keenly aware that his ancestry did not match the ancestry of the prophesied Messiah. And, of course, considering everything they had done, to undermine Jesus, the obvious would not have gone unchallenged. What was predicted by the Old Testament prophets should never be forgotten. Jesus was going to be the seed of the woman. He was going to be a descendant of Abraham, not Lot. The line would proceed through Isaac, not Ishmael, through Jacob, not Esau, and the fourth of Jacob's sons, not the first. He would be the legal heir of David and the long-awaited king of the Jews who would ultimately restore true Israel from their exile in sin. One thing we have to know for certain, Jesus had to be a Jew, not any Jew. He had to be the Jewish descendant of Israel's quintessential king through Jesse, by way of Judah, and in the lineage of Jacob. And of course, God sovereignly directed the course of human history from the woman Eve who was deceived to the woman Mary who conceived a son who alone could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecies. This is one of the great proofs that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tanya next in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Hank. I'm glad you talked about the ancestry. I have listen to you every day for about 5 years, and I know you can help me out with this question. I'm reading Luke, and it goes through the lineage of Jesus. And I've asked many people, I've asked many pastors, no one can give me an answer. So as I'm reading through, and it gets down to Joseph and how Joseph's directly related to David, but as we all know, Joseph is not Jesus' father biologically. So I'm a little confused as to how Jesus is related to David if Mary is mother. Do you get my question?
Yeah, I do. And I think this brings up a bigger issue, and that is what is the emphasis of the genealogies as they're presented in the Word of God? So when you look at the emphasis, you see that there are different explanations for the dissimilarities between the genealogies as they are presented. Now, let me cash that out for you. Matthew actually traces the genealogy through David's son Solomon. Luke traces his genealogy through David's son Nathan. Now, it might be that Matthew's purpose was to provide the legal lineage from Solomon through Joseph. And Luke would have an entirely different purpose. His purpose was to provide the natural lineage from Nathan through Mary. Now, on the other hand, it could also be that Matthew and Luke are both tracing Joseph's genealogy. In that case, you would have Matthew, the legal line, and Luke, the natural line. And as such, the legal line diverges from the natural line in that the Levirate law stipulated if a man died without an heir, his genealogy could legally continue through his brother.
Oh, I see.
And here's something else that I think is very important. The fact that there are a number of ways to resolve dissimilarities rules out the notion that the genealogies are contradictory. And also, I think there are many other things we have to look at, and that is the audience. Luke is writing to a primarily Gentile audience, and therefore he extends his genealogy past Abraham to the first Adam. Why? Because he's highlighting that Christ, the second Adam, as he's referred to in Scripture, is the Savior of all of humanity. Not only that, but calling Adam the son of God and strategically placing the genealogy between Jesus' baptism and the desert temptation, Luke masterfully reveals Jesus as, and this is a theological term, but it's very useful, theanthropos, the God-man. And it's also instructive to note that while Luke's genealogy stretches from the first Adam to the second, only mountain peaks in the lineage are accounted for, and therefore it's impossible to determine how many years elapsed between the creation of Adam and the birth of Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of things we have to take into consideration when we look at genealogies. What I love is to look at what Matthew does. I mean, Matthew doesn't give you comprehensive genealogies. What he does is he gives you a very congruent and masterful tapestry. What he does is he records 14 generations from Abraham to David, and then 14 from David to the exile, and then 14 from the exile to Christ. Well, he's a former tax collector. He loves numbers. And he's skillfully organizing the genealogy of Jesus around three groups of 14. What does that happen to be? Well, it's the numerical equivalent of King David's name. So the point here is, even if we can't resolve the genealogies, we should see that there's a masterpiece there, and rather than disregard them, do what you're doing, is scratch your head and saying, I want to find the deeper meaning here because I think it's very significant. It's not gratuitous. It's not just names. There's a purpose, and that purpose actually fits not only the message but also the audience that Luke and Matthew are writing to.
Yes, thank you for that, because as I talk to people that are non-Christians, I know that's going to be a question, because when I asked it to pastors, they told me, well, that's just one of the things that there's no answer to, and I know that there has to be a reason why they left, you know. So that helps me try to bring someone over instead of just going, oh, well, that's just a mistake.
Yeah, I've written about this in various places. You got it. One of the places is the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. I believe there's an entry there. And then also in my book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Divine Inspiration of Scripture. I did want to mention as we close the broadcast today, the flip chart maps. I'm very excited about it. It's a wonderful resource in an age in which the Bible is under siege. It's being attacked by politicians, by punmeisters, by the public news media. The Bible is just under siege. You see specials on television, all that. We need to know that the Bible is, in fact, not only a reliable authority, but it is the reliable authority by which we can set the course of our lives. Again, it is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow for more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just log on to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast on your computer or download archived broadcast. To talk to a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274, or you can write to us, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture, so take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Maps, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration.